Wow. I got a split. We just that's Shuggie, of course. Shuggie Otis, Strawberry Letter 23 from Freedom Flight, Faust So Far from BBC Sessions, plus Richard Heldon, Pinhas from new release Quentin Compson, number 3. Quentin Compson was the the album. And Barn Owl from Ancestral Star at the beginning with Light from the Mesa. My name is Fabio, and I'll be back next week. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, broadcasting at 91.9 FM in New York City and Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned now for, you know, that old guy, that geezer, the old codger. Stay tuned. And thanks for listening.
Les oignons, tout le bon marché. C'est ici, c'est ça. Ma grand-mère connaît les deux. Les oignons, tout le bon marché. C'est ici, c'est ça. Ma grand-mère connaît les deux. Pour coucher,
oui, madame.
Pour pas monter,
no, Bill Calatusho. Bill Calatusho. Bill Calatusho. Bill Calatusho. Bill Calatusho. Bill Calatusho.
Hello, this is the old codger here. We opened up tonight's program with Fats Waller, and he did African Rippers. Then we heard Nick and his Creole Serenaders with Les Oignons. Well, I'm here for an hour every week, playing 78 RPM records on WFMU. Now, you've heard the Sears Goat on the past two programs. You remember he was delivered by mistake when I ordered a new Sears-built Poutin shanty. It was supposed to come with a free, pre-assembled Sears cat, but there was a mix-up in the shipping department, and they sent a Sears goat instead. Well, you heard him in the background during my monologues on the radio the past few weeks. Well, we were contacted by a listener who is a professional goat translator. She speaks fluent goat, and she is apparently one of the most highly respected goat translators in the field. She showed us her credentials. She explained that the goat wasn't simply bleating for no reason. The goat was expressing opinions on the music played on the show. And he didn't like it all. In fact, the goat translator said that the goat's comments were 80% negative about the 78 RPM discs that I feature. He also indicated, in his own goaty way, this woman claims, that the goat was a fan of Annette Hanshaw and wanted to know why I don't play her records. Well, I don't play Annette Hanshaw because her singing is like the sugar water that passes for cocktails at Ralph's Pool Room in Belleville, New Jersey. Besides bleating out his music criticism during my mic breaks, the goat crapped on the floor of the Poutin shanty a dozen times. Maybe that was another way of his expressing displeasure with my playlist. But we welcomed the goat. He was frisky, and he kept us on our toes. We remember we asked listeners to submit names for the goat. We got dozens of suggestions, but none of them seemed appropriate. Well, finally named the goat. Last Sunday night, we had a gathering at my bunker in East Orange. Rummy Delbarton came by, along with Flora Dix Hoonfosser, Red Butler, Brother Justin and his sister Iris, Lolabelle and her no-account boyfriend, Halid Bottlenecks, and Reddy Kilowatt was also here. Well, we all agreed on what to name the goat, we decided to call him Dinner. He was excellent. Broiled with some garlic, a bit of minced ginger, onions, and bell peppers. Just because the goat had bad taste in music doesn't mean the goat didn't taste good. Well, we're going to get back to the music now here on the Old Codger Show, and nobody's going to complain about it.
Here comes that good-for-nothing brat of a boy. He's such a devil, I could whoop him with joy. He's been carousing at the burly queue. Just watch me teach him with the sole of my shoe. Small fry, strutting by the pool room. Small fry, should be in the schoolroom. My, my, put down that cigarette. You ain't a grown up high and mighty yet. Small fry, dancing for a penny. Small fry, counting up how many. My, my, just listen here to me. You ain't the biggest catfish in the sea. You practice pecking all day long to some old radio song. Then you'll be a real success. Yes, small fry, kiss the neighbor's daughter. Small fry, stay in shallow water. Seems I should take you cross my knee. You ain't the biggest catfish in the sea. You've got your feet all soaking wet. You'll be the death of me yet. Oh, oh, my small fry. Biggest catfish in the sea. You've got your feet all soaking wet. You'll be the death of me yet. Oh, me, oh, my small fry. Oh, me, oh, my.
Le grand auteur qui emménage avec Totoche, qui la filoche et la défend. S'y prend un mec à la mie de pain poisse à la manque, qui fait sa planque comme un feignant, non. Comme un chef d'administration, il organise la production, le nécessaire et le superflu, tout est réglé, tout est prévu. Pendant les heures d'exploitation, c'est pas un homme, c'est un démon, mais en dehors de ses fonctions, c'est pas un homme, c'est un mouton. Après le boulot, si qu'elle veut faire des heures en plus, hein. Comme dit Totor, moi dans le fond, ça me regarde plus. Comme dit Totor, ça me fait pas tort pour l'argent qu'elle gagne en dehors. On est d'accord, comme dit Totor, faut pas se conduire comme un butor. Comme dit Totor, j'y laisse le droit de la dépenser. À volonté de la ramasser ou de la placer. Se tuyauter de boursicoter, d'acheter de la rente ou du foncier. En suivant les cours financiers, des charbonnages ou des aciers. J'ai pas le droit d'y fourrer mon nez parce que moi, correct et régulier. Pendant que les autres vont jouer le pastis à la belote, avec les potes, dans les bistrots, Totor contrôle tout ce que la tête je lui raconte. Il fait ses comptes dans son bureau. Pour le resquillage et le boni, avant qu'elle parle, il a compris. Y a rien à chiquer avec lui, c'est plus un homme, c'est un taxi. À moins d'erreur ou d'omission, à la première contestation, la machine à coller des jetons est prête à la distribution. Comme dit Totor, si qu'on se laisse faire, on est foutu. Comme dit Totor, il faut d'abord, quand ça va plus, y aller Totor et taper forme une fois qu'on a fait du sport. Comme dit Totor, qui n'a pas tort, faut pas se conduire comme un butor. Quand c'est réglé, bah ça sert à rien d'être rancunier. Comme dit Totor, à peine a-t-il la main tournée, qui lui colle du taf à gommer et lui dit pour la consoler, blessé en service commandé, c'est un accident du métier, demain t'iras pas travailler, parce que moi tu sais incorrect, c'est régulé. Et malgré ça, y a les jours où la môme te touche, fait sa caboche et reprend le dessus. Si bien qu'un soir, elle s'est fait voir avec ta tave, et ce qu'elle plus grave, Totor l'a su. Comme dit Totor, qu'on soit bourgeois, barbe ou prince ou n'importe quoi, chacun son bien, chacun son du sens, à la morale est foutue. Si bien qu'en sortant du restaurant, ta tave s'est trouvée devant Totor, qui a dit les yeux dans les yeux. On va régler ça tous les deux. Comme dit Totor, si qu'on se laisse faire, on est foutu. Mais le monde t'a dit là, Totor, je te comprends plus. Je te jure que Totor, t'es dans tes torts. Avec la môme, j'ai pas de remords, on est d'accord. Et quand elle sort, j'y refile 100 balles dans le corridor. Non, alors Totor, y'a des... j'ai rien à te reprocher. Tu vois mon pote, si tu m'avais pas regardé, on serait en train de s'entrelarder. Mais moi, je pouvais pas le deviner, vu qu'elle m'a jamais rien donné, finalement. Oh, tu peux t'en aller, va, ben. Mais... c'est elle qui va te dérouiller, et je veux. Parce que moi, tu sais, un correct, c'est régulé.
We just finished our second set of music on the Old Codger Show. We opened up with Mildred Bailey and her orchestra, and she sang Small Fry. Then Edith Piaf, singing in French. We heard Correct et Régulier. Maxine Sullivan sang the song Molly Malone. Then the Georgia Jumpers with Ukulele Benny. And we closed out that set with the John Kirby Sextet and Close Shave. I am the Old Codger, Courtney T. Edison, here on WFMU. Every week, featuring only 78 RPM records. And we have a new sponsor on the Old Codger Radio Show. Always great to welcome a new sponsor, because that means money coming into the program. Now, Maxwell Bodenheim was one of the great American practitioners of the poetic arts. Now, his classic poetry is available in a new collector's edition. And I was very close to Mr. Bodenheim. In the 1920s, Max, of course. Max is what I called him, of course. Everybody did. And I was very close to him in the 1920s and 1930s, before he began to disingratiate himself from all the finest social circles, and before he transitioned to earning a living by panhandling. And he was good at that, too. But in his prime, Bodenheim was a literary titan. He had all the young ladies falling at his feet and sticking their heads in gas ovens and leaping into the East River after he stole their virginity and mocked their devotion. Oh, Maxwell was a brutal heartbreaker. He proved that you don't need money, style, or a soul to attract flirty dames. Maxwell also, he coined the phrase, "Why don't you slip out of those wet clothes and into a dry martini?" Others have claimed credit, but those words tumbled out of Max's mouth at Webster Hall when he spied a drenched chorus dame who had just come in from a rainstorm. I was there at the time, and I heard it. Well, Maxwell Bodenheim died over 60 years ago. Cause of death, something to do with a high-speed projectile that emerged from a chamber. The preservation of Maxwell's reputation rests, unfortunately, on his less talented younger brother, Gus. Nonetheless, I think you'll appreciate the effort that Gus makes in this new commercial. Gus wants to introduce his dead brother's vivacious verse to a new generation of poetry enthusiasts. And like his late brother Maxwell, Gus is fueled by potent libations. So, this is our new sponsor. Whatever it takes to pay the bills around here.
The brass band plays upon your decks. Like a sturdy harlot aping mirth, life is swishing in the air. Like a tipsy, unseen bridegroom.
I'm sure you recognize that lovely snatch of verse as Advice to a River Steamboat by Maxwell Bodenheim, the finest poet of the 20th century. And I should know, for he was my brother. Gus Bodenheim here, proudly presenting a brand new collection of the very best of Max Bodenheim. Why, just listen.
The sea is pregnant with gracious discords.
Who's the frail? She sounds like a robot.
We're all with Gus.
Yes, yes. Not contented to rest on his laurels after penning blockbuster novels like Naked on Roller Skates and Cutie, a Warm Mama, my brother gave us this classic.
The wind was shrill and mercenary, like a housewife pacing down the sky. Green wheats and tin cans in the yard made a debris of ludicrous dissipations.
Take that, T.S. Eliot. More like B.S. Eliot. Ezra, quarter pound, lightweight. Max is... I'm fine. Max's poems made the other poets look like the bastards. What? Yeah, of course. Oh, listen to this.
Indigo indignities. The words are like a mermaid and a saint, doubting each other's existence with a kiss.
Look. No, I will not cut. Here, take this familiar verse.
Like a vivid hyperbole. The sun plunged into April's freshness.
Now that's a goddamn poem. Sons of bitches.
To order, call 1-800-228-2221. Receive almost $3 in COD charges plus postage by sending $12.98 for the records, $15.98 for tapes, the classics. Box 6677, Chicago, Illinois, 60680. That's Illinois.
Nerves are getting frazzled and you want a nice retreat. You should take a house and come a living down in Peaceful Street. It runs down from the boiler works to the timber sawing mills, and they're digging up the roadway. Yes, they're digging up the road between with automatic drills. There's milk in the morning, cats in the night, Old Moore's almanac and fruit all ripe. There's singers who sing in horrible tones, and the party who comes collecting rags and bones. There's a Scot with his bagpipe and a cop with his feet, keeping law and order down in Peaceful Street. When the shades of night are falling and you start to nod your head, all the world is wrapped in slumber as you snuggle down in bed. In nearby railway sidings you can hear the engines roar, and a gramophone starts playing. Yes, they're playing Rule Britannia on the gramophone next door. The clocks in the steeple strike through the night. Cocks start a-crowing and the dogs all fight. There are taxis that hoot their horrible din, and the wind blows the lid off someone's old ash bin. And at daybreak the factory whistles make life complete as you just start slumbering down Peaceful Street. when the week is over, comes the peaceful Sabbath day, till someone starts to build a hen house just across the way. A motorbike declines to start upon its Sunday spin, and the leather-throated newsboys,
paper!
The leather-throated newsboys add their music to the din.
Sunday paper!
Paper!
Boy scouts in battalions tramping about, blowing their bugles till their eyes drop out. A corps of girl guides in order arrayed, and the special constabulary on parade. Then the Salvation Army, to show they're not beat, bust their drum each Sunday down in Peaceful Street. It's a peaceful spot to live in, is Peaceful Street.
No,
I'll take the next day.
Solid man, don't hesitate.
That's on, Jack, that's on.
Not by the little, Jack, I'm just like the bear, I really ain't nowhere.
Solid pops, we don't care.
That's on, Jack, that's on,
yeah. Why be a bring down when you come to a showdown? Slow down.
Oh, come on, boys, let's swing this song.
Solid man,
that's on,
Jack, that's on, yeah. One, two, one, two, one, dot it. One, two, one, two, one, dot it. One, two, one,
da 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 da
Brother, she more than 60, and I'm sure without any doubt she could be me granny. Still she walking about at night with her face like Jack Palance. Go to France, stand aside and give this sparrow a chance. I'm looking for youth, not experience. Spend the weekend. I look back, who you think I see? One of my family, good heavens, the show. Mama Jacob, what the France you doing in the nightclub? Same heavy rock and roll start to play. She hold on to a sailor and break away. If you see the woman, brother, she more than 50. And I'm sure, without any doubt, she could be my granny. Still she walking bold at night with she face like Jack Palance. Go to France, stand aside and give your daughter the chance. Oh, I'm looking for you, not a Syrian.
Don't you harm that bird, don't you dare to try. Start releasing that chicken or you'll get a licking. That chick's too young to fry. Hey boy, better take my word, here's the reason why. Gotta feed her steady till she gets ready. That chick's too young to fry. Take her back in the barnyard, then let her go, just turn her loose way out there in the barnyard, where she'll grow up for better use. Hey boy, there will come a time, someday by and by, she'll be ready for frying, so stop your crying, that chick's too young to fry. Chick's too young to fry. Get away, stay away, come back another day. That chick's too young to fry.
Okay, well, we heard Ernest Butcher at the top of that set with Peaceful Street. Then we heard the Four Clefs, and they sang I Like Pie, I Like Cake. The Cats on the Fiddle gave us That's On, Jack. That's On. The Mighty Sparrow. Very early recording. Give the Youngsters a Chance. Was also sometimes referred to as Jack Palance, because he mentions him in the lyrics of that. And Louis Jordan ended up the set with That Chick's Too Young to Fry. This is the Old Codger on WFMU, playing 78s only. We heard Ernest Butcher in that set. Ernest Butcher was the singing sensation of 1935 with his big hit, I Ain't No Bodenheim. Bodenheim was a popular metaphor that suggested drunken, loutish behavior, the kind that often resulted in being thrown down flights of stairs or getting socked in the jaw, but not being pushed out of windows. It's important to draw distinctions. Let's not get carried away. Anyway, it's purely coincidental that I played this song after a commercial for the collected literary jewels of Maxwell Bodenheim announced by his no-account brother, Gus. I remember the first time I met Gus. He was sitting alone in a room, staring at a television. It was off. He turned to me and he said, I'd like to have a nice bag of stuffed figs. I knew that Gus was a walking Zen riddle, and I had to solve it. Ah, the project continues. I was not personally acquainted with Ernest Butcher. I wouldn't know Ernest Butcher from a goat wrangler. But Butcher was no Bodenheim. He was no Flip the Frog, either. And he wasn't even Calvin Coolidge. He was Ernest Butcher. Anyway, let's get back to the music here. I'm sorry, I'm just getting silly. Happens occasionally. It breaks the tedium of my naturally sour disposition. Anyway, back to the music. Here's James P. Johnson and a tune about New Jersey. It's called Jersey Sweet. Thank you.
slow you down, mama.
I heard you was a two-time man, and I want you to understand.
Now listen, I want you to be mine as I ask, but I'm evil anytime I might make a great big splash. That's all.
Listen now, but as you should, because it's all for your own good.
What's wrong now?
If you don't love me always, mama's gonna shorten your day.
Cut that out, cut that out.
And if you jump up and rave, you may land right in your grave.
Stop that.
I ain't talking just to hear myself. I'm only telling you to clear myself. Now, if you don't love me always, mama's gonna shorten your day. I mean, mama's gonna shorten your day.
And another thing, sister, if you get too fresh, I don't think I won't be feeling some of your flesh.
That's all you dirty about.
Now, I've been two times, I admit once before, but I declare sweet papa Butterbean won't be two times no more. Now, if you don't love me always, papa's gonna shorten your days. I mean, Papa's gonna shorten your day.
Talking to the whippoorwill, he say you got a corny trill. Bob White, what will you swing tonight? I was talking to the mockingbird, he say you are the worst he heard. Bob White, what will you swing tonight? Even the old owl telling me you're foul, singing the lullaby note. Don't be a bring down, if you can swing down, give me the high note. There's a lot of talk about you, Bob, and they sing you off the cob. Fake it, Mr. B, take it, follow me, Bob White. We're gonna break it up tonight. There's a lot of talk about you, Bob, and they sing you off the cob. Take it, Mr. B, fake it, follow me, Bob White. We're gonna break it up tonight.
Well, that set closes out the program, the Old Codger Radio Hour. We started there with James P. Johnson on the piano, and he did Jersey Sweet. Then we heard Butterbeans and Susie with Mama's Gonna Shorten Your Days. Felix and his Crazy Cats, there's the orchestra with the Duke of Iron, great calypsonian, the Duke of Iron. His real name was Cecil Anderson. We heard Bob White, What You Gonna Swing Tonight, from Felix and his Crazy Cats. Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson was the last music that we heard in the program, and they did Have to Change Keys to Play These Blues. Earlier in the program, when I talked about the goat who came to dinner, actually the goat who was accidentally delivered and ended up on the table alongside the sweet potatoes. Anyway, earlier I mentioned the goat liked Annette Hanshaw recordings. That reminds me that the Kittatinny Mountain Range in western New Jersey was created almost entirely out of discarded Annette Hanshaw 78s. I read that in one of those books about New Jersey history by Henry Charlton Beck. He was a noted authority. He didn't just make stuff up, like some people. I mean, it's entirely possible. I believe it. I mean, there must be some reason why God created Annette Hanshaw records. They must have some earthly purpose. You can't listen to them without injuring your ears, being dumped in mountainous landfills to create new real estate. I think that God had a plan. Anyway, this is your Codger. I'll be back next week with another hour of splendid radio on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Thanks to my playlist administrator and aide-de-camp, Lola Bear Pancake. We hope you patronize our sponsors. If you can't patronize our sponsors, then please buy their products.
That's me. I am writing this and I am reading this, but at different times. But it's the same person, the reader and the writer. Dear Hardy, referring to me, myself. Idea 1. Butch's dream has caused a paradox. If I get an idea now, and I want to express myself to fellow human beings, I can do so in a fixed variety of forms. I could write a poem, or if I had some funds, I could make a movie, I could make a cartoon, I could do a play. That I could do with some friends, or I could build some robots and do a play with them. I could do a puppet show. I could do a shadow puppet show. I could do an opera. I could make a song. I could do an expressive dance or a non-expressive dance. All those options are open to me. Or I could make up my own art form. It's easier to do the first kind. If it's a play, the audience will know what to expect. They'll sit there in their seat. They'll know that they're going to get a story, that the people speaking are the actors, and that some of them are good people, maybe some of them are bad people, that there's something going on, and that there's supposed to be some place that isn't necessarily the stage. Or I could present my idea in its own art form. I could make up a vocabulary that involves throwing applesauce at a concrete wall, and it might take the audience a little time to figure out what's going on. But eventually they might be able to interpret my very, very idiosyncratic, personalized symbols. the applesauce, the various types of food thrown against various types of walls. Some of them are just objects. Some of it's just a matter of flicking a type of juice at a platonic solid. And they would say, yes, but that is best done in a film, let's say, and that person might be some type of hero, and we'd know because of the costume, let's say a specific type of hat, a hero's hat. If you're making up the form, they won't know what the hero's hat is. These things are not mutually exclusive, but they do provide a certain tension. I want to be creative, but I must be so in the most rigid form possible. That's so strange. Is that not a paradox? I want to be truly free, but when I am truly free, no one seems to understand me. When I am confined, I can make myself clearly understood. Then I start to think, do I want to be clearly understood? Oh, everyone now knows the idea I am trying to convey. Pity all of us. Pity me for thinking it. Pity me for deciding to share it. Pity you for getting it inside your head without knowing where it came from or whether it'll be a good idea or not before it gets in there. Y'all invite it in. Do this with movies all the time. I shall now invite an idea to come into my head and live there indefinitely, maybe, depending on how long it wants to stay. It didn't sign any kind of contract. I don't remember giving it a key, but the agreement that we made when I watched the film, I guess that was the key. And now the idea can come and go, and it can sneak up on me when I'm sleeping. I think I have the place to myself, and then, boop, in comes that thing I let into my head many years ago. And here it comes back in. I live here too now and forever. You thought I was just visiting. No idea just visits. A lot of them will stay for longer than you know because they all make a copy of the key. All the ideas that come into your head are like guests who have stayed at your Airbnb and they've made a copy of your key and they think they can come back any time unannounced without paying you. Sometimes you have to pay them in the form of patience or self-worth or just general energy level. I liked it. It's, people don't realize that they're doing that. They go, oh, I have a mind palace. They go, now, is it your just yours? Oh, yes. Go, maybe you ought to check out some of the rooms. Okay, go look at some of the rooms because you're going to be interested of all the people that are living there. How did they get in? Did they sneak in? No, you invited them in. Is that like poltergeist? What is the plural? Poltergeist? Yes, I think it might be Nutzgeistes have come into your head and they're living there and they're in the rooms. I don't mean to scare you, but is that why when I have dreams at night, sometimes there's people in there? Yes, you've had them in. How do I get rid of them? Murder them in your head. No, don't do that. You don't have to kill them to get them out. Can I ask them to politely leave my mind palace? Depends who it is. Some people like being there, and some I keep there. Like, I have a lot of them are imaginary in my head. So I have a kitchen staff, but they're not real people. And they're not menacing or anything. They're just in there making up recipes. What are y'all doing in there? Oh, we're having a little bit of fun with the sugar and flour. All right, don't go crazy now. I know what you can go crazy with these little chef baking challenges at the middle of the night when you're glug, glug, a little too much. That happens in my mind palace. I get a little too inventive, and then my mind will start making things up as I'm sleeping. It's like, why are you doing little recipe experiments? Do I have to get up now and try it for real? No, but you do maybe have to roll over and write it down on a piece of paper. Now, one time this happened to Butchie. He was having a dream, and I heard him in the other. Did you ever have a dog? Butchie's not a dog, but let's say he was a dog. Do you notice how a lot of dogs, when they're dreaming, sound like Shemp Howard? You go, Hardy, I don't know who Shemp Howard was. Oh, let me tell you the story.
Boom, dum, dum, Sam Howard was a man. No, I'm not going to tell you this story right now. It should be guitars and everything should have kicked in right there. I'm saying, but he was one of the Three Stooges. And when he dreamt, he would be dreaming a lot of times. He would be sort of talking in his sleep. And you'd hear, he'd go like this. Like, B, B, B. I don't know if he's saying B, B, B.